A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come, without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us.
He answers all our needs.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Then you may proclaim this holy gospel.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no reason for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fishes are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. God is never outdone in generosity. I don't know if you heard that phrase a lot when you were growing up. I certainly did. Many of my teachers, and practically all of them, I think, in grade school, would say that on one particular occasion or another rather regularly. God is never outdone in generosity. If there would be an appropriate time to say it once again, I think today would be the day. Having heard the readings we just heard, it would be appropriate. In fact, the responsorial psalm that we just prayed certainly reminds us, but changes the words a bit, but still means the same thing. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. I'd like to share a few reflections with you today on the first reading from Isaiah and St. Matthew's Gospel. The part of the book of Isaiah that we heard from today occurred when the people of Israel had been conquered by the Assyrians. They were exiled, but they were allowed to return home, still under the power of the Assyrians. And they brought with them, the people of Israel, the influence that the Assyrians had in them when it came to worshiping pagan gods. So it was the lot of Isaiah to remind the people that they were not only to return to their land, but to return to the true worship of the one true God. So that was the role that he had, the significance of that. And he did that faithfully. And in the setting and the image that the author uses is the significance of the banquet, that they're coming home and God is delighted to see them. And so, as we heard, come to the water. Why pay money for something that does nothing? Obviously, comparing the true God with the false gods. No one hears because no one listens. No one is listening. There are no false gods. There is only one true God. So the significance of that, and that the covenant was renewed, Isaiah was trying to let the people know. And the word covenant is an extremely important word, both in the Old and the New Testaments. And there's a great difference between covenant and a contract. I like that statue of St. Paul. That's really a lovely statue. I had a brother by the name of Paul. So a little bit of a devotion, and certainly scripture, the significance of Paul and his writings in the New Testament. If I would ask Father Gernick, I'm not going to, but it stays right there, I wanted to purchase that statue, we would make an agreement. We'd settle on how much it would cost, and we'd probably write up an agreement. That's a contract. It's an exchange between two people based on an agreement. A covenant is much different. A covenant is an exchange of persons based on love. Deacon Leo and I were just talking about this before Mass began. And so we call Christian marriages not contracts, but covenants. An exchange of persons based on love. And the covenant that God has entered into with us. I think some of the most reassuring and beautiful words of the Old Testament are precisely these, when God said, ratifying his part of the covenant, I will be your God, and you will be my people. When we hear the New Testament proclaimed, or when we read it ourselves, we have to realize why it's called New Testament, because there is a new covenant that God has entered into with his people, in and with and through Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who offered himself to the Father on behalf of all of humanity. And so he redeemed the world and promises us eternal life if we are faithful to him. Looking back with the eyes of Easter faith, we can, I think, see the scriptures, some particularly in the Old Testament, as images or prefiguring of the realities of our Christian faith. Certainly also the self-offering that Jesus made. And I think that's exactly how we should look at this passage from St. Matthew. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record them. The main reason behind that may be that of the fact that it anticipates the Eucharist on earth and also the wedding feast of heaven. And so perhaps that's why all four evangelists included the significant multiplication of the loaves and fish in their writings, in their accounts of the life of Christ. I think it's particularly as I read the gospel, as I was preparing earlier this past week for my homily, I read the dialogue between the apostles and Jesus in perhaps a little bit of a different way. It was almost seemed to be an unintentional setup for the Lord. So Jesus had been preaching. The apostles come and say, it's pretty late. You better dismiss them so they can go get something to eat. And Jesus starts kind of reeling him in. He said, well, you get something. You give him something to eat. Well, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not going to feed so many people. And he said, bring them to me and tell the people to sit down. And we know what happened, the significance of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. The next 4 words that are used are extremely important. You'll recognize them immediately. Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave. Sound familiar? Yes. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the words of institution, Jesus took, blessed, broke, and gave. And so, obviously, the evangelists want us to get the notion of the significance of what Jesus did. That this prefigured, this wondrous mystery that we celebrate Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, daily, if we would choose. What a wondrous mystery that our God, the creator of heaven and earth, deigns to be food for our journey to the kingdom. How much he loves us. And it is, as Thomas Aquinas wrote almost 800 years ago, a pledge of future glory, the glory of the wedding feast of heaven. Matthew ends the account of the feeding of the 5,000 with the reality, as Deacon Leo proclaimed, of 12 baskets full, left over, if you will. Again, the responsorial psalm, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. I'd like to share with you words that were written some time ago, and let me give you the setting of how this hymn came to be composed and presented to the Catholics of the United States of America. 1976 was our bicentennial year, and the Vatican decided that that year would be the year that the International Eucharistic Congress would be held in Philadelphia, just because of the significance of the city of Philadelphia and because the United States was celebrating our bicentennial. So different musical organizations throughout the country had composers write. So let's say all of you were composers and the 3 of us here were the judges. All we knew is that everybody had a number. We didn't know your names or who wrote them or anything like that. And we looked over and this is what we came up with. And you'll recognize the words. I'll spare you the melody. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. And here's the challenge of the Eucharist. God is always faithful to us. How faithful are we? The words recall, I think, the significance of that. You give yourself to us, O Lord, so selfless let us be, to serve each other in your name, in truth and charity. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. You know what? Those teachers were right. God has never outdone in his generosity. God bless you.